Patrick McDonald isn't only in studio, but he's strumming along to the music.
Yeah.
Patrick is a film critic for HollywoodChicago.com. He's the chief guide for the Chicago Film Tour. You want to go to ChicagoFilmTour.com for all your information or dial him up at 312-593-4455. Hi, Patrick.
Hi.
Great to see you.
Don't forget lead singer of the Telepaths.
Lead singer of the Telepaths also, by the way. But if people also share that telepathy, they'll already know that.
That's
so
right.
I don't even have to tell them.
Absolutely.
A couple of stories about movies before we get to what films are coming out this weekend.
Yes.
Story number one. Last week, a movie opened up called The BFG. It's a childhood classic. My daughters loved it. I loved reading it to them when they were kids. It's directed by Steven Spielberg, one of the most goof-proof directors in all of Hollywood. Somehow, no one's going to see this movie. It's tanking at the box office. What's gone wrong?
Boy, you know, I don't know. I gave it 3.5 out of 5. I thought it was a very sweet story, which I was not familiar with at all.
Mm-hmm.
I love Roald Dahl. And I could see elements of his, you know, his mindset in
the
movie.
He's the one that did Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yes.
He did James and the Giant Peach.
Yes.
He's a great author.
He is. And also, it just, I would say, because I think if you look at the promotional material for it, I kind of got a vibe like it was like something old fashioned.
Yeah,
I that's all I can. I can.
You couldn't figure out exactly what the storyline was, but that's still okay.
Yeah, I think it's very okay. It takes a little while to get going, but once it gets going, I think it's you know, really good for families. I can't figure it out. Who makes the decisions to go to a movie in the household, you know? And when you have a lot of competition, Secret Life of Pets coming out, well, maybe we won't go to BFG this week. We'll wait for Secret Life of Pets, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know how that goes, Bill. You can explain that.
Maybe because it looked a little creepy. I mean,
it is a little creepy.
Yeah, the images.
The story's dark. Roald Dahl makes a dark story.
Exactly, but it wasn't. I don't know. Maybe it didn't take as well from the book to the big screen.
Here's the strange thing, though. When our daughters were little, if there was a movie out that we knew that they could see,
right,
we went. And
sure.
Sometimes it was great and sometimes it was terrible, but we were just so anxious to go see a movie with them.
Right.
And this fit every bill that we would want. You know, it's a great fantasy story. It's Steven Spielberg. I'm just shocked that this movie did so poorly.
Did you see it?
I've not seen it.
Okay, and I know you're anxious to.
I am very anxious to see it. I want to see it very badly.
I had no familiarity with the story, but it had such elements of beauty in it that it was stunning. And boy, he spared no expense, and it's Spielberg, so he's going to go all out for this.
Yeah.
But it did remind me a bit of like Tom Thumb. Remember the giant pictures of our youth, you know?
Sure.
It reminded me a bit of that. Again, I don't know if that's off-putting or not. I don't know. It's a mystery.
I know that kids could be scared by it, but I also know that kids have a very high tolerance. Some kids have a very high tolerance. For other kids, if something's going to scare you during a movie, what can you do about it? But when I was a kid, I wanted to be challenged by a movie, didn't you?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly, yeah. It just seems like, again, when I was a kid, and this is going a little farther back, the movies were a mystery. You know?
Yeah.
And I think so many kids now are introduced to the movies at earlier and earlier ages. You know, we see 2-year-olds in front of screens now watching stuff. And I don't know if that makes a difference for what you choose going forward, but maybe you know your... You know your kids' cultural style by the time they're like 5.
What they can handle,
what
they
can handle, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think it's different now, you guys, because movies are so accessible? You know, anywhere you go, you see a mom and giving a kid an iPad.
Right.
Or they can watch it on their phone and then hit pause, run around, do what they want, and then come back to it. Does that make it a little different, you think?
I would think so. When parents can gauge what the kids' favorites are, then they can gauge what they think they should be seeing in the movie theater.
Yeah.
So,
is there stuff in this movie, you've seen it, and
yes,
I have not, is there some things where your average 5, 6, 7-year-old just couldn't handle it?
I don't think so. The evil monsters, the evil giants are, you know, off-putting by design, but I think that was taken straight out of the Dahl book.
Right.
So, I don't know. I just... Not having kids, I can't gauge.
Now, there's a tie-in with this story to the next story, and I'll explain what that tie is in just a little bit.
Okay.
A movie director died over the weekend, and his name will be familiar to some and very foreign to others. His name is Michael Cimino.
Correct.
The movie that he made that was a landmark film is The Deer Hunter. It was Meryl Streep's first movie.
Right.
Robert De Niro's in it. Christopher Walken's in it. It's a fantastic movie. It's an absolute masterpiece, The Deer Hunter. I think it was nominated for 7 or 8 Academy Awards. It won a bunch. He then, Michael Cimino, became one of the top directors in Hollywood, and he was given a movie called Heaven's Gate that is considered to be one of the worst movies of all time. I don't remember a time where one movie absolutely sank a guy's career the way this did. It took down a movie studio. It took down his career. What do you make of a story like that of Michael Cimino?
I make of it that it was a different era in filmmaking. When you talk about The Deer Hunter, you're talking about the domestic side of the Vietnam War and how it affected the working class men who went and fought that war.
And made when they weren't making Vietnam movies.
It
was one of the first movies to come out about Vietnam.
Right. And also then you had the 1-2 punch of that in Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
And suddenly you had the artistic interpretation of the Vietnam War. The Heaven's Gate debacle is more legendary, I believe, for what it did, as you said, to the studio and to Cimino's career than what it is as a movie. I think people you can now go out and get the various versions of it. This is what I don't like. It's been tinkered with ever since, and I think there are 3 or 4 versions of it. But Jeff Bridges, who was in the film, and who was in Thunderbolt and Lightfoot, which was
one of his other movies.
Yeah, one of his other films. He came out and said that Heaven's Gate is a masterpiece. Please give it a consideration. It's not what you think it is. It just was a victim of timing, I believe.
Right.
I mean, a couple of years later, Warren Beatty put out the movie about the Russian Revolution, and people went to that.
Reds.
Yeah.
And that was a difficult movie, a concept that had some difficulty to understand, but people... Was it the filmmaking? Was it the tinkering? Was it the timing? We don't know, and that's pretty much a Hollywood legend.
Why would Hollywood be so unforgiving for a movie, say, like Heaven's Gate, and there's been so many other flops and so many, well, even BFG, like a Jodie Foster film. She's a great actress, but has had a couple flops as a director.
It's timing and what the studio puts into it, so many studios have had their backs to the wall at a certain point, like 20th Century Fox with Cleopatra, and in this case, the Cimino film. And if it brings you down, they're never going to forgive.
Right.
They're just never going to forgive.
Well, that's the tie-in I wanted to make to the first story, is that Steven Spielberg is one of our most beloved, cherished filmmakers.
Right.
So when he makes a movie like BFG that doesn't do well at the box office, he's not going to have a hard time getting another job. But with Michael Cimino, it was quite a while before he worked again, and he never reached the level he was at prior to this.
Well, I mean, as a creative person, we all can understand how a little slight can destroy us.
Sure.
We're delicate. Creative people are delicate creatures, and if they get, and when commerce gets involved and can crush all kinds of creativity, I think that's a lesson for all of us, Bill.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nice.
I am a little delicate. I'm not going to lie to you. We're all very delicate. We had to build a case around Patrick the last time he was here.
You guys are delicate, though, in a very strong, sexy way.
You're very kind. You're very kind.
Thank you.
All right, we'll come back and we'll find out what movies are coming out this weekend. Stick around. It's Bill F. and Andre Darlison for Wendy Snyder, along with Patrick McDonald on WGN. Patrick McDonald is here. We're talking about films with Patrick McDonald. He has a great website. It's called HollywoodChicago.com. And then he's also the chief guide over at ChicagoFilmTour.com. 312-593-4455 if you want to see an amazing tour of all the various sites that they've used to shoot some of your favorite films here in and around the city.
Excellent.
That's where you want to go.
Both Saturday and Sunday.
Saturday and Sunday. This happens to be, I'm looking at this list that you put out, Patrick, and I'm shocked. 2016 is quite a year for anniversaries.
I think so.
50th anniversaries of things, 40th anniversaries, 25th anniversaries of things. Some prominent names on here. Just go over a couple of them because it just shows how quickly time passes.
Yeah, I would say for me personally, the Batman TV show
is now 50 years old
Batman. The Star Trek TV show. The Beatles' last concert, August 22nd, 1966, San Francisco. the Monkees celebrating their 50th, and then the 40th anniversary, amazing, All the President's Men, Rocky, Charlie's Angels, and the famous Network, of course.
What a year that was for movies.
Prescient
for TV.
Films ever made, you know. It was Peter Finch that beat out Sylvester Stallone for Rocky, for Network.
And he had already died,
yes,
right?
Yes, he died a month before. Faye Dunaway, look up that picture of Faye Dunaway because she won Best Actress. She's sitting at the pool the next morning with her Oscar by her, with all these newspapers talking about Oscar for Finch posthumously.
Ah, so, nice. Great. You know what it is also? This is not on your list, but it's also the 40th anniversary of Roots. Did you know that?
Yes. Well, wasn't that 77, though?
Was it 77?
I believe 76. So.
Okay. So next year will be.
Yes. Yes. But they just had that new version of Roots come out, too. So, and Nirvana's Nevermind 25 years ago. How about that?
Gosh.
How could that be 25 years ago?
I don't know. And it was such an influential album. I think that was one of the last albums that was really everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, permeated everything.
Yeah, right.
You know, all genres, all folks, you know.
And really gave way to the grunge music movement. If you could ever find an album that just kind of opened the doors and made something more accessible and mainstream, I think that's your album right there.
There you go.
All right. So, wow. It really is a strange year in terms of anniversaries. All right. Let's talk about some of the movies that are coming out this week. First of all, we were just talking about kid films.
Right.
I guess this fits that same kind of genre, that Secret Life of Pets.
Yes, done by the creators of The Minions and Despicable Me. Now, here's the thing.
You're not going to like this. I can already tell. Can you tell?
I can.
There's this in your voice. Yeah.
Three out of five. Now, I just think these are becoming cynical exercises. I mean, it's set in New York City.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Louis C.K., Eric Stone Street, Kevin Hart, Jenny Slate, Albert Brooks, Lake Bell, Dana Carvey, et cetera.
Quite a list.
So it's just, you know, it's getting the right voices together, getting the right story. It's like packages, you know, they're packaging these animated films. They're not putting a lot of creativity in it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that really bothered me was they stole the Nobody's Perfect line from Some Like It Hot. In context, too. And I'm thinking
that's
to myself,
the last line of Some Like It Hot. Yes. So now it's in this movie.
And
now
the kids
it's
are
in
going,
this
perpy
in the same context. And they're like, you know, I'm like, would a kid get that?
No.
Or but it's just a complete steal from Billy Wilder.
But
which,
if you're making a movie like this, aren't you trying your best? And I'm not trying to defend it. I haven't seen the movie. But aren't you trying your best to play to two audiences? You're playing to the kids who want to see the animation, but you know their parents are sitting there with them, so you want to throw something their way. So maybe that joke, that line is something for the parents.
Sure.
Right?
Absolutely.
Right.
And also, you know, when you assess these films, you do kind of look at them on two levels. Obviously, I'm an adult, so I'm looking at it at another level.
Not so
level.
Sure of that, Patrick.
Well, you know, I still have a mind of a kid.
All right.
But, I think the BFG and the Secret Lives of Pets are both more kid-centric than that dual-layer, you know, adult-kid sensibility. Like Finding Dory, adults, kids, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Finding Dory is adults and kids.
Something
for
everybody there.
Because thematically it works both ways.
I still have to see Nemo.
You didn't see the first one
never
yet?
Never saw Nemo.
Oh, you
got to
see the first one.
Well, rent that.
Okay,
and then
see Dory.
See Dory.
Yep.
How about this? You mentioned a long list of people who play characters in this movie, The Secret Life of Pets.
Right.
One of them is Albert Brooks. So Albert Brooks' last two movie performances are Finding Dory and this.
Yes.
Two kind of animated films. I love him. I've always loved him.
Yeah.
Is he going to do regular feature-length films anymore, or just this
I
sort of thing?
I don't know. He just released all his films on Netflix. Big video.
Broadcast
deal.
News 2.0.
So good.
And he tries to distinguish his voice in this one, so it's not like his normal voice in Finding Dory.
Oh, really?
So he's sort of playing more Kvetchy, I think.
Sometimes.
If I may
I
use that
it.
Oh, of course. He'll show up. Did you ever see the movie Drive?
Yes.
All right,
yes.
So he's a villain in that movie Drive, and you say to yourself, Albert Brooks can't play a villain. That's just one of the funniest, nicest guys in the world. But boy, when he plays a bad guy, he plays a bad guy.
He killed it. And did he get the nomination? I'm not sure. He was up for the nomination, but I don't know if he had an Academy Award nomination
for that.
But the what I'm recommending this weekend is Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates. It is hilarious. Furious.
I really want to see that. I love Anna Kendrick and I love Adam Devine.
Yeah, yeah. This is like Zac Efron, Adam Devine, Anna Kendrick, and Aubrey Plaza from Parks and Recreation.
It's kind of like Hangover / Wedding Crashers.
Yeah, I would say Hangover meets Bridesmaids.
Okay.
It's the funniest movie since Bridesmaids about weddings. Oh. I mean, it is perfect.
Yeah.
Because basically it's about two doofuses whose dad comes in and says, you're not ruining another family event. And of course, that's going to happen.
Right.
Spoiler alert.
Right.
And Stephen Root plays the dad, and I love Stephen Root,
From
the
News
voice
Radio?
Of Bill Daltrey, and he's sort of in the club of Mike Judge. He always does the Mike Judge stuff because he's in King of the Hill.
And, yeah.
He's just a character guy, but he plays the dad and does dad stuff in it that is so good that it'll remind you of your 20s. Or at least it reminded me of my 20s and my relationship with my parents back then.
Oh, so, good. So this is
it's hilarious. 4.5 out of 5.
Oh, good.
A little sexist, but
is it?
Yeah, a little.
I can get past that. Yeah? Anna Kendrick can get past it.
Yes.
We can.
Well, the girls are bad. Bad girls. bad asses. Can I say that?
No, you can't say that. Okay. Don't say that. Nope. Adam Devine is the kid from Modern UFCC. Family, right?
He's the Manny.
Yes,
oh, I like him.
So amazing
he's
in this. Funny. I got to interview him. He's hilarious.
Is he really?
Another hilarious. A guy from Omaha whose family is in the railroad business. So he said, got my overalls, got my lantern. If it never works out, I'm just going back to the rails.
Got a job.
Get the rails.
All right. And now this is kind of selfish, and the movie doesn't open yet. But Andrea is curious. Next week,
Ghostbusters.
The new version of Ghostbusters comes out. I know you haven't seen it yet. You're going to New York to see it. But what are you hearing about the new version of Ghostbusters? Are you hearing good things about it?
Well, here's the only two words I have to say about the new Ghostbusters. Paul Feige.
He's the director.
He's the director. He's the guy who did Bridesmaids, for example. Hilarious movie. Spy last year. Hilarious movie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ghostbusters is going to be funny. Now, whether you accept the all-female cast, that's your problem. A lot of backlash on the internets about the all-female cast.
Yeah.
But, I have those two words, and I say I'm looking forward to it because of that.
Kate McKinnon, Kristen Wiig, Melissa McCarthy.
Leslie Jones.
Wrong, right?
Come on. There are four very funny people.
Now, is this... Help me with this because I don't know the answer. Is this a remake of the first one? Are they the daughters of the first Ghostbusters? No. Do we know any of that?
We don't know. That will be the surprise when we see it.
Yeah.
I would probably call it a reboot because that's what he likes to call it,
right.
I think, when I interviewed him a couple of years ago. So.
And you know what they did, which was very smart? They've got this guy Hemsworth. He plays a guy. Now, Hemsworth, is it Chris Hemsworth who's in this?
Yes, Thor.
He looks just like Kevin, our producer, and his name in this is Kevin, so they're obviously tapping in on Kevin's success.
His zeitgeist is over all of show business.
Yes.
Yes.
Zeitgeist Busters. That's what it should have been called.
There's no truth to the rumor that Hillary and Trump make an appearance in Ghostbusters.
They're not in this?
Any sort of a...
They're not in this for sure.
Machine.
I wonder.
Too bad. Then the Republicans could have more hearings about it.
Right. So. Absolutely. Patrick, great to see you. Again, a couple of different websites for you. HollywoodChicago.com is his film criticism website. He'll tell you what to see and what not to see. And then also ChicagoFilmTour.com. There are tours on Saturdays and Sundays, and they're always entertaining. 312-593-4455.
One more thing. Happy
Please.
Birthday, Mom, Joanne Schultes McDonald of Weirton, West Virginia. On the big WGN. Thank you.
Beautiful. You don't have to get her a card now. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll find out what's coming up next. Stick around. It's Bill F. and Andrea Darlison for Wendy on WGN.